Jesus. Come on, let's stand right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, there's deliverance in the house today. There's victory in the house today. Oh, there's a healer in the house today. Yes, there is. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Will you do something crazy for me? If you have a need, I want you to walk around this church and raise your hands and praise God for the victory. Praise God for the answer. Praise God for the deliverance. Praise God for the healing. Amen. Come on, let's reach out to God right now. Let's do what the song says.
Put it
hallelujah,
on,
hallelujah.
The garment of praise, put it
oh,
on.
Oh, yes, we praise you, Jesus.
The spirit of heaviness, put it on. There's a blessing in your praise.
Oh, he's
in
able.
Your weapon, put it on, put
oh,
it on.
Yes.
The garment
you,
of
God.
Praise, put it on.
Oh, you're going to save, Jesus.
The spirit
Jesus.
Of heaviness, put it on.
You're going to heal, God.
There's a blessing in your praise. Get your weapon. Put it on. I am a soldier. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm going into battle, and I got the victory. My weapons are not carnal, but it's in my praise. We're pulling down strongholds in Jesus' name. Put it on. The garment of praise, put it on. For the spirit of heaviness, put it on. There's a blessing in your praise. Get your weapon. Put it on, put it on. The garment of praise, put it on. For the spirit of heaviness, put it on. There's a blessing in your praise. Get your weapon. Put it on, put it on. The garment of praise, put it on. For the spirit of heaviness, put it on. There's a blessing in your praise. Get your weapon, put it on. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. It won't work. Put it on. The garment of praise, put it on. The spirit of heaviness, put it on. There's a blessing in your praise. Get your weapon. Put it on. I am a soldier. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm going into battle, and I got the victory. My weapons are not carnal, but it's in my praise. We're pulling down strongholds in Jesus' name. Put it on. The garment of praise, put it on. For the spirit of heaviness, put it on. There's a blessing in your praise. Get your weapon. Put it on, put it on. The garment of praise, put it on. For the spirit of heaviness, put it on. A blessing in your praise, get your weapon, put it on. I am a soldier, I'm in the Lord's army. I'm going into battle, and I got the victory. My weapons are not carnal, but it's in my praise. We're pulling down strongholds in Jesus' name. Put it on. The garment of praise, put it on. The spirit of heaviness, put it on. There's a blessing in your praise. Get your weapon. Put it on, put it on. The garment of praise, put it on. The spirit of heaviness, put it on. There's a blessing in your praise. Get your weapon. Put it on.
Come on, sing this part.
No weapon.
No weapon.
Formed against us.
Oh, yes.
Shall prosper.
It won't work.
No. weapon formed against us shall prosper. It won't work.
Oh, yes.
No weapon
formed
against us shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon,
no weapon
formed against us
shall
prosper.
It won't work.
No weapon formed against us shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. It won't work. Put it on the garment of praise. Put it on the spirit of heaviness. Put it on. There's a blessing in your praise. Get your weapon. Put it on.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. God, we praise you today. God, we praise you today. God, we praise you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. The battle's not ours, it's the Lord's. Amen, amen, amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus. Amen. False doctrine, sin, amen, the things of this world cannot stand against the God that we serve. But every single time, they're going to bow down and say, you're Lord. You're King of Kings. Amen, amen. Brother Hornsby, you ready to preach? We want Brother Hornsby to come and preach, take his liberty, feel whatever he feels like doing. We want God to have his way. Amen. We want God to have his way.
Let's clap our hands to the Lord tonight. Oh, yes, let's really clap our hands to the Lord tonight. He's worthy. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, mighty God. We love you, mighty God. We love you, holy God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. It feels good to be apostolic Pentecostal tonight. I said it feels good to be apostolic Pentecostal tonight. You know, there was a day you didn't know what it was like to lift up your hands and praise the Lord. There was a day you didn't know what it was like to run these aisles and feel the Spirit of God. Amen. We are a privileged people. Amen. We are a blessed people. Amen. I can't imagine going to church and not feeling God. That's right, I wouldn't go. I can't imagine going to church and being confused on who He is and not really knowing if I'm saved or not. Amen. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Book of Mark, chapter number 6. We're going to get right into the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. And I believe that the Lord has set the stage here tonight. It's a great move of the Holy Ghost, liberty here tonight. Amen. Amen. And I'm looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. We're going to keep inviting people to church, keep telling people about Jesus. Amen. If you're worried about them having all kinds of questions, you just say, look, just come to church with me and I'll direct you in the right direction. We'll get somebody to answer all the questions. Sometimes they don't need somebody to answer their questions. They just need to get here and feel this. Amen. They just need to, like the woman at the well, you just need to take a drink and experience it for yourself. Amen. Some of us, we know that. We had lots of questions. But there's something about when you get a taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. You just tell him, you know what? We're not throwing stones, but this church, there ain't no church like this church. Amen. We're not throwing stones, but you just got to come to my church. And you'll understand why I'm crazy about my church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter number 6. We'll start reading at verse number 1. Amen. Again, we're so honored to be here. Verse number 1. And he went out from thence, speaking of Jesus, and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many, everybody say many, hearing him, were astonished. Wow, this is good preaching. This is amazing. I've never heard anything like this before. They were entertained. They were astonished. They were amazed at the depth of this man's words. Astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They were offended at him. This carpenter's boy is trying to preach to us. He's got such wisdom, but isn't this the carpenter's boy? They were offended. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet, everybody say a prophet, is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk. Everybody say a few. Many heard, but only a few were healed. Few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. He marveled that many could hear, but only few could be changed because of their unbelief. Amen. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach tonight on more than a carpenter's son. More than a carpenter's son. Would you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for your holy word. God, we thank you for the liberty of the Holy Ghost that we feel in the house of God tonight. God, I ask you that you will move in the remaining part of this service, God, and help us. Help us to move and respond to the Holy Ghost and your word tonight, God. God, that we can leave this house better than we came tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you clap your hands to the Lord one more time? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. If you're going to help me here tonight. If they only would have believed. That's simple. Just that. That's it right there. If they only would have believed. They looked at him and they were astonished. Wow, what words of wisdom. What preaching, what teaching. We've never heard anything like this before. Oh, God. Oh, man, Pastor Brown on Sunday morning. Bishop on Sunday night. We've never heard anything like this. This is such great wisdom, such great teaching, such awesome preaching, amen, that we can hear at times, but yet even though they were astonished, even though it was unlike anything they had never heard before, there was a hang-up that he was nothing more than a carpenter, nothing more than the son of Mary, nothing more than the son of a carpenter, nothing more than somebody that fabricated tables and chairs. But yet they were caught between believing in his words and observing him as a man. They were caught between realizing that the wisdom that is coming from his lips is really, it's good words, but they could not get past his humanity. Amen. And this is a danger even in 2023, as every service you come, you are getting preached to by a man. Amen. Hopefully it's a man, not a woman. But anyway, we'll just leave that one alone. I don't even know why I went after that one right there. Amen. We'll let the bishop and pastor take care of that one. Hallelujah. But you're getting preached to by humanity. And there are times where you're on the edge of your seat and you're saying, that's right, I believe that. The words that he's saying, it makes sense, but you're caught between, do I believe? Or is it just good, wise teaching, good wisdom, good words, a good message? We live in the era of conference preaching, where if it's not revelatory, if it's not great, if it's not profound, if it's not entertaining, if it doesn't astonish us, then it's not truth. It's not to be believed. But Jesus, he looked at them and he said, hey, a prophet. It was right there. He gave them the revelation. I'm not just a carpenter's son. I'm more than a carpenter's son. And many have heard my teaching, and many have heard my prophecies, and many have sat under the voice of my word, but only a few that were sick could be healed because of their unbelief. Hey man, it's so dangerous to get to a place where we come to church and I enjoy good preaching. In fact, you will probably find nobody that enjoys preaching more than myself in listening and hearing. I defer. I would much rather hear. I enjoy preaching. I love to preach. But oh, there's nothing like listening to somebody break down the Word of God and teach. But oh, it's in vain if it's nothing more than an astonishing word. If there's not something in me that responds in faith and says, that's for me. That's for me. He's preaching about healing, and that sounds wonderful. That's a beautiful message. Oh, we heard about the stripes that heal. No, it sounds good, but until you say, I believe, and that's for me. Amen. A prophet could be among you, and many could hear, but there'll only be a few testimonies, and it's not going to be that you didn't hear good preaching or anointed preaching, but it's only going to be the few that say, I believe. Gotten to a place where amen is a word of our culture. But he wanted the church to say amen, because when you say amen, you're saying, let it be so. Don't just say amen out of habit. Don't just say amen because everybody else is saying amen. When the preacher gets up and says, you've got to repent, I say amen because I believe it. Let it be so in my life. We preach on baptism. We preach on Holy Ghost. We preach on whatever it is. If you believe it, say amen. No, don't just say amen because many are saying it. Be the few. Be the one that says, I believe it, God. I've got to have that word in my life, because he needs to be more than a carpenter's son to you. He needs to be more than a man to you. He needs to be more, amen, than a simplistic message that you hear. He needs to be more than a culture, than a lifestyle. Amen. I thank God for our culture. I thank God for this lifestyle. But it's got to be more than that. It's got to be real. It's got to be alive. It's got to be powerful. It's got to be life-changing. And that only comes through belief. That only comes through faith. That only comes through more than being astonished, but saying, men of God, if you preach it simple, I believe. If you preach it complex, if you break it down in Sunday school lessons, I still believe the message. It doesn't matter if it's a step-by-step 12-week Bible study search for truth. It's still the message, and it still works, and it's still alive. Amen. And it's still real. Hallelujah. How much more could have been done? How much more could have been done if they would have believed? If they would have believed. But, even though he said, I'm a prophet, they were hung up. Well, he's just a carpenter's son. But people, you're looking for the Messiah. You're looking looking for the one that's going to reign. You're looking for the one that's going to do this great work, and he's right here in front of you. But we can't get past that he's a carpenter's son. We can't get past his family. We can't get past that he's one of us. But oh, he's not just one of us. He's more than a carpenter's son. Why don't we let the Bible speak to us and understand tonight? I'm just giving you a glimpse of Jesus. I'm just giving you a little taste of heaven here tonight. There's not enough time in one night, in multiple nights, to really dive into this. And maybe we'll get back to it, maybe we won't. But really, as you begin to go through your Bible from front to back, from cover to cover, it testifies. Why do you think that Jesus showed up in John and he looked at the Pharisees and he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me." You think you have eternal life because you've obeyed the law. You think you have eternal life because you came to church. He said, but go back and read it again, because that book that you're reading, even the law, it testifies of me. And you need to be reminded tonight. I need to be reminded that in John there was no gospel. There was no Acts. There was no Philemon. There was no 1 Corinthians. There was no New Testament. They were reading the law. They were reading the Old Testament writings. And Jesus said, even they testify of who I am. Even the testament, even the books of Moses, they talk about me. They talk about who I am. Go back and read it again, boys. Amen. In Genesis, he's a creator of all. And John would verify this in saying that all things were made by him. In Genesis, he is a covering as he allows the first blood shed to happen and covers humanity and their sin. In Genesis, he is the bruiser of the head of Satan. He is the antidote for the bite of sin. From the very beginning, from the third chapter in the Bible, there's a messianic prophecy that he's going to come and he's going to bruise his heel, but he's also going to bruise the head of the enemy. You heard about the stripes tonight. You heard about the wounds. He did that, and yes, it bruised his heel, but it was so you could realize that even in the beginning, there was a plan that you could have an experience with more than a carpenter's son. Hallelujah. Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Because in Genesis, he was the ram caught in the thicket. He was the vicarious sacrifice, the substitution for you and I. He was the one that took your place, took my place. That I didn't have to die, that I didn't have to be judged, but he was a ram. Do you know that rams don't get caught in the thicket? Amen. They don't get caught in the thicket. You go study your wildlife. Rams do not get caught. Amen. He was showing that when a sacrifice is needed, I will do whatever it takes to make it happen. Amen. And I'll provide a ram. When you're deserving to be on that altar, I'm going to make a way when there seems to be no way. In Exodus, he became the Passover lamb, the deliverer. He told Moses, you're not going to see me, for no man is going to see me, but I'm going to pass by. You're going to see my hind parts. I'm going to let you see my mercy and my grace. And David said, surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. He said, hey, I'll tell you what's going to happen, Moses. You're not going to see me, amen, in the law, but you're going to see the grace and mercy to come. You're going to see a prophetic foretelling of a Jesus that would come. And that's why my Bible says, for the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I've got to hurry here tonight, amen, to get through this. And we'll do our best to get where we need to get. In Leviticus, he was the great high priest. The Bible says in Leviticus, the life of the flesh is in the blood. He was the blood that was shed for my sin, for your sin. The great high priest, the atonement, the one to cover, the one to purge. He was the healer of the leper. And the Bible says that in all the Old Testament, I think there was only one leper that was healed. But in the days of Jesus, in one moment, 10 were healed. He showed I can reach back in the law where only the law could help one. But I've come to show you to fulfill the law, not to replace it, but to fulfill it. And to show you I can fulfill the law, but I can also reach into the heart. We're not just talking about an outward leprosy, amen, that deteriorates the flesh. He said, but there's a spiritual leprosy that has got a hold of plague, that has got a hold of the world. And he said, I'm the atonement. I'm the blood to bring back to life. When you were broken, when you were bound, when you were lost, he said, you were deteriorated by sin. The works of the flesh were manifest, and you were dying to the plague of sin. But he said, I'll be the blood. I'll be the blood to bring it all back together. I'll bring the blood. I'll be the blood to heal the leper. Hallelujah. In Numbers. Amen. And again, there's so many more and so many more avenues we could go down, but I'm just going to go with what I felt tonight. In Numbers, there's a lot of numbering, a lot of status, but it says he's going to be the star out of Jacob. Out of all the numbering, he's going to be the star. Woo! In a world of stars. If I can just get my name on that sidewalk. If I can just get my name in the starry lights of Hollywood. No. He's going to be the star that rises above all. He's going to be the star out of Jacob. He's going to be the scepter out of Israel. He's going to be the one that has Jacob's dominion. He's going to be as Moses. He's going to be the serpent lifted up in the wilderness. Amen. That when they would look unto him, that he would be lifted up and draw all men unto him. Why? Because they were bit. He was the antidote, remember? Amen. That they would be bit by a serpent in the wilderness. And it was a type and shadow. It wasn't an idol. Amen. It was a foreshadowing of Jesus to come that says he's going to be lifted up. And if you've been bit by serpent of sin, if you've been bit by Satan and sin has wreaked havoc in your world, he said, I'm going to be lifted up on a tree that when you want to get healed and you want to get delivered and you want to get set free, you don't have to run down to AA. You don't have to run down to your local Moose Lodge. You don't have to run down to the local clique, but you go to the cross, you go to the church. He said, I've been lifted up that I would draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. He's been lifted up in Deuteronomy. He's the city of refuge. When the adversary's out for blood, he's the one that I can run to. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it and are safe. When I didn't deserve it, I could run to him. When I was lost, I could run to him. When I was hurting, I could run to him. Hey man, you know what else he was in Deuteronomy? He was the Shammah. Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And that's why he brought it back in the New Testament when the lawyer wanted to question him, when the Pharisees wanted to question him. Oh, what's the first commandment? I'll tell you what it is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He said, I didn't come to change that. I didn't come to change it. I am the law. Amen. I am the Shammah. I am the one God that you seek. Amen. You're looking for refuge. You're looking for the Messiah. Amen. I am the Messiah. In Joshua, he was the scarlet thread hanging from Rahab's window. Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab's family didn't deserve any hope. Rahab's family didn't deserve to be set free, amen, and spared. But because she said, I'm willing to respond to a man of God to give me hope. And he hung the scarlet thread from the window. And when the walls came down and when the God's people came in, there was a scarlet thread that said, spare them. It was just like the blood on the Passover. Amen. When the angel came and brought death in the land of Egypt. Oh, I see the blood. I see the scarlet thread hanging from the window. Amen. You might be worthy of death. You might be a no good sinner. But in this house, you can get a scarlet thread to hang from your window. It's called the blood. It's called the blood of the Lamb. It's called the blood of the Savior. I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. There's coming a day where he's going to send forth the reapers, the angels, the same angels, I believe, that passed over Egypt. Amen. And those reapers, they're going to look. They're going to look for the blood. They're going to look for the scarlet thread. But you've got to know him to get the blood. You've got to know him to get the scarlet thread. You had to have a conversation to be able to know to hang the scarlet thread. You've got to come to church and let a man preach to you. And it's got to be more than astonishing words. You've got to say, I believe in that message. He's preaching about the blood of Jesus. Amen. We're not some crazy click or cult of today. We just believe in the power of the message. We believe in the oneness of God. We believe in the Bible. I'm not just interested in man's opinion. I want to know what that black back book says. I want to know what the Word of God says. I want to know what this Bible says. I've got to have the blood. Hallelujah. And if you're here tonight and this is new to you, please understand it's all Bible. And we would love to take the time to sit down and explain it to you more in depth than even you're hearing tonight. Amen. This is what the Bible's here for, to answer our questions. Jesus, I believe in that day, He was expecting, he was hoping for somebody to ask a question that he might help them believe. Like the man that said, Lord, help my unbelief. Don't just walk away and say, I don't understand it, so I'm never going back. No, say, God, if this is right, if this is real, if what I feel is real, then I want to know more. I want to know more about that scarlet thread. I want to know more about that Passover lamb. I want to know more about that God that you're preaching about, the great high priest. Oh, let's talk about him a little more. In Judges, he was the perfect and just judge. He was the Lord of peace. Amen. He was a God that could look at a situation. Amen. When all of the humanity, when all the natural judges failed, he said, I'll never fail. I'll always judge every situation just and righteous. Amen. And thank God that when he does come down in judgment, that when the blood is applied, he's a just God, he's a faithful God, and he allows us to pass through even though we're deserving of judgment. He's a just God, and he brings peace that passeth all understanding. If you're in turmoil right now, if you're in confusion right now, he's not the author of turmoil, he's not the author of that, amen, that confusion, but my Bible says he is the author and the finisher of our faith, and he's the author of peace, amen, and he wants to bring peace to your heart. Home. He wants to be the King of peace. He wants to be the Lord of peace. He wants to be a just judge to put your life back together and give you hope for tomorrow. Hallelujah.
This is one of my favorite ones in Ruth. He's the kinsman. The kinsman redeemer. Ruth, there's a nearer kinsman than I. But he's not willing to pay the price. He doesn't want you. But Boaz said, I'll pay the price. I want Ruth. I'll be the kinsman redeemer. Whatever the cost, I'll pay it. Amen. Amen. Oh God, thank you for being my kinsman redeemer. Amen. To bring me up out of Moab. Amen. From a place of no God, from a place of no people of God, from a place of no liberty, he became your kinsman redeemer. Amen. To buy you out of sin, to buy you out of the household of sin, to buy you out of the hand of the enemy. Oh, I know you belong to him, but he paid the price anyway, that he could redeem you unto himself. In 1st and 2nd Samuel, again, there's many illustrations, but this is the one that stood out to me. He becomes the voice of the prophet Samuel, 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 and he runs to Eli. Oh, Eli, did you call me? No, son, that voice that's calling to you, it sounds familiar. It sounds like the preacher, but it's really the voice of God. Amen. We don't lift our humanity up. Amen. I'm a saint first, just like you. I'm nobody better than you. But when the anointing comes, you need to tune your ear and get beyond the voice of Chris Hornsby and get beyond the voice of Tim Brown and Ray Brown and so on and so forth. And you need to say, I know it's coming from the voice of a man, but it sounds like the voice of my kinsman redeemer. It sounds like the voice of the God that's calling me, amen, out of sin and out of darkness and into this marvelous light.
Hallelujah. It was the voice of the prophet. and the rock of my salvation. Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. What rock? Oh, Peter, when you got a revelation of who I am, I can build on that. When you fully understand who I am as God, amen, and it wasn't the flesh. It wasn't me. It wasn't flesh and blood, but it was my Father. He wasn't separating the deities. He was saying it wasn't the natural man that told you, but the Spirit of God opened your eyes. What you need tonight is the Spirit of God to open your eyes. You say, preacher, I've been coming to church a long time. I know, and you've been astonished, and you love one God, and you've got one of the best, amen, two of the best preachers that teach one God, and I know they know it in and out like the back of their hands, but it don't really matter how good and how profound and how astonishing they can teach it if you don't believe, if your eyes don't pop open and say, I see it. You are robbing yourself of one of the greatest experiences you could ever have. Amen. It's one thing to be able to quote it. It's one thing to be astonished. Wow, that was an amazing one God message, Pastor. But when the eyes come open, he's going to say it wasn't flesh and blood. It wasn't Tim Brown. It wasn't Ray Brown. But it was the Spirit of God that quickened you and opened your eyes and let you see that Jesus is God in the flesh. Hallelujah. In 1 and 2 Kings, he's the builder of the temple. Amen. And in the New Testament, we become the temple. We become the temple. So you know what that means? If he's the builder of the temple, oh, woo, that means he wants to build you. He wants to labor on you. He wants to perfect you. He wants to work out all the blemishes in you. He wants to put his hands on you and build up the desolation, build up the waste cities. Take that which has been torn down and build it up for his glory and build it up into something beautiful. Amen. We've been dealing a lot with this the last couple of services. He wants to work out those flaws and those failures and those things behind you and take what wasn't and make it is. Take what the rubble and the junk and the ashes and give you beauty. Amen. He wants to take what you exchange to him and build it up into a temple of God. He is the builder of the temple. He is the King of all kings, and he is a jealous God. He is. He said, I'm not going to share my glory with another. I'm not interested in sharing my glory. So when you decide I'm going to serve him, you need to decide to serve him and him only. He needs to be number one, numero uno, priority in your life. 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles talks about him being the God above all gods. I mean, I don't know about you, but this is probably my natural side, but when I go to play basketball or any other sport, I want to be on the team of the guy that can dunk, shoot threes, 7 foot tall, intimidates everybody else in the gym. I don't just walk into the gym and go, well, I'm going to take that little puny guy over there. That sitting on the bench, nobody wants to play with him. It's natural to want to win. So why in the world would I not want to be serving the God of all gods? When over and over and over you observe the other team failing, falling, miserable, destitute, dark. They serve alcohol. It doesn't work. They serve sports teams. It don't work. They serve the idols of this world, and it don't do them any good at all. They may find temporary highs. They win the Super Bowl one year, and the next year they don't even make it. Amen. In the championship. Why? Because the gods of this world will fail you. The gods of this world will let you down. The gods of this world will leave you wanting more. But there is a God above all gods, and he has never, never lost a battle. He has a perfect track record. In fact, I've read the back of the book, and the Bible says he wins even in the end. Even in the end, even the prophetic voice says he's going to win until the end of all time. I want to be on that team, the God of all gods. Amen. The Bible says a God that even the heavens cannot contain him. They're so caught up in the gods of this earth that they don't even realize that there's a God that even heaven cannot contain him. Their gods cannot even escape this earth. The firma. cannot escape the canopy of this world. I know they're trying to land on the moon and they're trying to go to Mars, but there's a God that encapsulates all the galaxies. He not only encapsulates it, but he looks at them and kind of chuckles as they try to number the stars and says, I'm the one that hung every single one of them in place and know them by name. And not only do I know all the stars, but I know all the hairs on your head. I know every tear you cry at night. You name one God in the world that is standing there with a bottle catching your tears. No, they don't even know your name. But he said, I know you by name. I know the numbers of your hair, and not a tear falls from your eyes that I haven't bottled up. That's how he thinks about you. That's how he feels about you. And he is the God above all gods. And you've got an opportunity to serve him today. Hallelujah. Amen. And Ezra, he is a faithful scribe. And Nehemiah, he is a restoration, a rebuilder of that which is broken down. And Esther, he's Mordecai standing at the gate, interceding and not bowing. Not giving in to the enemy, making provision for protection and preservation of his people. He is the preserver, the protector, the king's signature. The Bible says in Esther that when the king signs something, it cannot be reversed. When God decides to come down and show you mercy, the devil can't do anything about it. When that king signed it and he spared all the people, and the enemy had to hang upon his own gallows. Oh, isn't that an interesting parallel that the lake of fire was created for Satan and he's trying to drag everybody there. But when it's all said and done, God said, I'm going to take you, Haman, and I'm going to hang you on your own gallows. I'm going to take you, Satan, and I'm going to cast you into the lake of fire where you belong. But when God signs the covenant, when God signs it and says you've been signed, sealed, Ephesians calls it the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sealing of us until the day of redemption, when God stamps you with his signature, there's no devil in hell that can reverse the sign. Amen. He's a redeemer, he's a provider, he's a protector. Amen. And Job, my redeemer that liveth, he's alive. We don't serve a dead God, he's alive. And Psalms, he's my shepherd that leadeth me. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I believe God loves it when we preach about him. He's my shepherd that leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He's my shepherd. And when I have wants and needs, he provideth them for me. The lamp. He's the lamp under my feet and the light unto my path. That's how he guides me as my shepherd, with his word. He said, I'm going to lead you, but if you want to find still waters, you got to let the lamp be the word. He said, I'll lead you beside still waters, but you got to let the lamp be the word and a light unto your path. You got to let the word that is forever settled in heaven. You cannot change it. I cannot change it. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. If it's in the book, it's right. If it's in the book, it's real. If it's in the book, it's going to be what I'm held accountable to. What he's going to open that day and judge me according to. But he said, if you'll let me lead you and guide you in the way, I'll let my word be a lamp unto you. And man, David said, he's my song of deliverance in the night. For weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. In Proverbs, he's our wisdom. When you need help, when you need life's advice, he's got the wisdom. He's got the answer. He's got the knowledge, the understanding. That's why he said, lean not upon your own understanding. You've got to lean on God if you're going to make it. You've got to lean on God if you're going to survive this wicked world. Lean not on your own wisdom, but lean on him. Let him be your wisdom. Amen. In Ecclesiastes, he is the true satisfaction in a world full of vanity. You're not going to find peace. You're not going to find joy. You're not going to find the fulfillment of the emptiness when you've been laying in bed at night longing for more, empty, dark, destitute. When the wisest man that ever lived said, everything out there is vanity. He said, but I have observed the wicked coming and going from the place of the holy. If only they would have believed, if only they would have been more than astonished. How many sinners, how many people have passed through our churches and they've heard preaching. In fact, I've had them come to me and say, that is the best preaching I've ever heard. But they walk right back out the door. I've even seen it with saints. You preach a message to pull them up out of their tragedy, and it's a temporary lifting of astonishing words, but they didn't really believe. In Song of Solomon, he's the faithful and beloved, the beautiful bridegroom. He's the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. He wants to be everything to you. He's that beloved that's going to return for a bride that's ready, that's watching, that's looking, that's preparing their garment. In Isaiah, he's wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. It's Father's Day here today, and he said, I'll be a father to the fatherless. But it was prophesied of the Son to come that he was going to be the everlasting Father. The mighty God. The Prince of Peace. How in the world can he be counselor or comforter? How in the world can he be the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, which is the Son of a King all in one? Because he's God. He's the Father. He's the Son. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Comforter. All encompassed in one man by the name of Jesus. Amen. The government was going to be upon his shoulder. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch. And Lamentation, he's the weeping prophet, the one who weeps for us. And he showed this even embodied in humanity as he stood over Jerusalem and wept over them of what they could have been if they believed, of what they could have been if they responded, of what they could have been if they only knew who he was. In Ezekiel, he's the Son of Man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. You're not in this alone. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband. Amen. Even though she didn't deserve it. He went looking, Gomer, where are you at? I've come, and Gomer on the auction block of sin, and the price is being given. Can I get this much or that much? Amen. And nobody wants Gomer because she's been a failure. She's messed up. But thank God for the faithful husband, Hosea, that said, I'll pay the price. I'll pay the price. In Joel, he's the promised outpouring of his Spirit. In Amos, he's the justice for the oppressed. In Obadiah, he's a mighty judge and mighty to save. In Jonah, he's the call of God and the mercy that follows. And I believe the call of God is going out in this place right now. As revelation is setting in on us, as revelation is setting in, he's more than a carpenter's son. And many have heard, and many have heard, and many have heard, and many of us have had more messages than we can count, heard preached to us on the gospel, on the message, on Acts 2:38, but do you really believe? Many of us have heard one God for 20 and 30 and 40 years, but do you really believe? But the call of God, Jonah, is coming out, and you're going to be a type and shadow. You're going to spend 3 days in the belly of the whale, but you're going to come forth with a message of mercy, a call to repentance. He went down and he died. Jesus died, and 3 days he rose again, and he come back, and he could have been angry for them killing him. He could have been angry for the crucifixion, but he came back with a message of mercy. In Micah, he becomes the one that will cast our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. You know why we preach baptism? Because the Bible says when you go down in the water, you are buried with him in baptism, which becomes a sea of forgetfulness. And God buries and buries and buries carries and washes away all of your sins, and he forgets about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we clap our hands to a righteous God right now? Amen. And Nahum, he becomes the avenger. Amen. He's going to revenge his people. He's going to be the avenger that helps fight the battles of his people. I thank God that he's our avenger, that he fights for us. In Habakkuk, he's the destroyer of injustice, the keeper of covenants. He's faithful to keep his promises, church. He does not lie. He won't lie. He doesn't break his promises. His promises are true. They are yea and amen. He's a keeper of his word. In Zephaniah, he's the Lord who saves. In Haggai, he's the restorer of worship, because he wants a people that'll know him, that'll love him, that'll worship him. Oh, in Zechariah, he's the Lord and King over all the earth, and he's the fountain of cleansing. Amen. Not only is he the King, is he the Lord of all the earth, but he has provided a way for you to be cleansed, that you could stand in his presence, that you could be purified and stand before him, that you could come in and live for him, because he's a righteous and a just God. Hallelujah. In Malachi, he's the Son of Righteousness. He's the messenger. Amen. And now we've come to the New Testament. We're going to be moving pretty quickly here to finish this. In Matthew, he's the promised Messiah who is King. In Mark, he's the faithful servant. In Luke, he is a friend of sinners and publicans. He's the stone that the builders rejected. In John, he's the word that was in the beginning. The word that said, let there be, and there was. The word that was in the beginning with God and was God. And that expressed plan, that expressed idea, amen, it became flesh and dwelt among us as a man. The word, he is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He told him, he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I am the way. John 14 and 6. You want to know? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I've not come to bring death, but I've come to bring life, and that more abundantly. Hallelujah. In Acts, he's the Pentecost. He's not only the outpouring, but he's the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which is the counselor, the comforter, that's going to keep us, that's going to seal us, that's going to hold us and protect us from this world. He is the indwelling of the temple that he was building up, the temples of you and I that he's building up. He said, I'm building them up. I'm clearing out the blemish. I'm clearing out the sin so I can fill them with my spirit, that I could restore worship, that I could build something unto me. Amen. In Romans, he is the power of God unto salvation. He is the sacrifice. In 1 Corinthians, he is the conqueror of death and hell. Amen. He is the resurrection and the life. In 2 Corinthians, he is the glory through suffering and our strength and weakness. In Galatians, he is the Redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he is the head of the church. In Philippians, he is the supplier of all of our needs, and has a name that is above every name. And he said, there's coming a day. Amen. The music will come. I'm going to hurry here to a close in just a few moments. He said, there's coming a day that every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. It doesn't matter what your little auntie, little uncle, little grandma's opinion was. It don't matter what the preacher down the street says. It really don't even matter what I say. But the word of God says every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. No other name. Confucius said, follow me. Muhammad said, follow me. Buddha said, follow me, and we'll show you the way. But they're dead. but they're dead. But they're dead. And they're still dead. Jesus says, I'm not just going to show you the way. I am the way. And not only am I the way, I'm going to show you that when I die 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. Because I'm going to conquer. Because neither is there salvation in any other name. It don't matter if they come hailing themselves as a prophet that found a scroll in the book of Ezekiel and they named themselves Joseph Smith and start a religion that convinces the masses. Paul said, if I come preaching any other gospel. He said, if an angel come preaching any other gospel than Jesus Christ and him crucified, let him be accursed. If somebody's telling you can be saved without Jesus, you better remember the words of Jesus. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He said, I've got the name. I've got the name that is above every name. In Colossians, he is the fullness of God. If I had thought about it, I'd have had him put it up on the thing, and maybe I will another night, but I drew out a comparison one time of the Godhead. Because in the Trinitarian God, they'll tell you they believe in one God. And in the middle, it'll say one God, and it'll say Jesus is God, but he's not the Father. The Father is God, but he's not the Son. The Son is God, but he's not the Holy. But my Bible says, can you put Colossians 2:9 up there? Ask me how that makes sense in parallel to the Word of God. For in him. In him dwelleth. You know what that means? That doesn't mean that Jesus is a part, a subpart, a second person, a subordinate deity. Well, he's part of God, but he's not the Father. No, 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 no. In him. In him. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. He's more than a carpenter's son. He's more than a carpenter. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, in that humanity, in that man. God said, I know that the heavens cannot contain me, but I have become flesh, and I've allowed in my wisdom, in becoming the Lamb that was foreordained. He said, I have allowed this human body, amen, to be the fullness of who I am. And that's why they looked at him when he forgave sin and said, no man can do this but God. Nicodemus said, no man do these things except God be with him. Can you put Colossians 1 and 15 up there? Who is the image of the invisible God? You remember that word that was in the beginning? The word. The unexpressed idea. The plan, the logos, became expressed in Jesus, the image of God. He's the image, and his image is not just a third, 33.333% of God. It is the fullness. First, 2 Thessalonians, he's our comfort for the last days. He's our returning king. First, 2 Timothy, he's our crown of righteousness, our mediator. Titus, he's our blessed hope. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Who's our great God? Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus said, he's your blessed hope. He's what you have to look forward to in this wicked world. He's your scarlet thread. Philemon said, he's the one who paid all of my debts. When the one that would imprison, was it Onesimus? But somebody showed up, Paul showed up and said, I'm going to pay it all. Pay it all. Hebrews, again, he's our great high priest, but he is the same in Leviticus, yesterday, today when this was written, and forever, 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 forever. James, he's the great physician. He can be called upon, pray, and he'll heal. He's the judge standing at the door. And he's that one singular God that even the devils believe in and tremble. And tremble. And tremble. And tremble. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he's the Lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world. He's the day star. And in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he's the advocate. The light, the truth. The advocate, the one that would stand before the judge and say, I'll take their place. Little children, if you've sinned, it's all right. We have an advocate with the Father. Because what the law could not do, a dying Savior took our place and made a way out of the judgment. In Jude, he's the only Lord God and the only wise God. We're almost done. We're almost done. And he's Jesus on the main line. Amen. Tell him what you want. Revelation. The closing. The climax. The ending. When it's all going to be over with down here. He says, you know what? We've been going at it for 65 books. We might as well hit it hard here at the end. Just in case you were wondering. Just in case from the beginning, through the Exodus, through the priesthood, through the numbering, through the remembering, through the prophets, through the poetic writings, through all the word, through the gospel, through the epistles, through the letters. If you haven't got it by now, just one more time, let me remind you that I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and I am the last. I am the root and the offspring of David. I'm the bright and morning star. I'm the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I'm the God who will reign forever. Revelation 19 and 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, if only they would have believed that he was more than a carpenter's son. But in a world that wants to be entertained, Bishop, they're saying, Jesus, fix my chair, but don't fix my heart. Jesus, you're a carpenter. Preacher, can you put a little money in my wallet? Fix my furniture, but don't fix my home. Astonish me with your words. Build something for me, carpenter boy. But oh, what he could have done. What he could have done. If only they would have believed that he was more than a carpenter's son. Will you stand with me right now? Apostolics, I know that you believe in God. I know you may even say that you believe in one God because you've heard enough facts and information to come to a cognitive understanding. But Paul told him, I'll tell you what, he was more than a carpenter's son, because to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He's not just interested in astonishing you. He's not just interested in blessing your finances, and he will. He's not just interested in fixing your chair, and he will. He's not just interested in being a carpenter and working on all your flaws and all your problems, but he is interested in reconciling you unto himself, someone that you once was lost. Amen. But one day your eyes were opened up that he's more than a carpenter's son, but he's the lamb, he's the blood, he's the scarlet thread, he's the judge that's going to judge all, he's the God that created the world, and he's the God that's going to come and live inside of me and get me up out of here and call me home. He's the beloved bridegroom that one of these days he's coming back for a church that has made herself ready. And all these blab it and grab it and fix my chair and fix my furniture and fix this and fix that. What would happen if we believed? And you're here tonight, and maybe you've heard some things that have astonished you. I've never heard it like that before. I've never heard that preached like that before, preacher. But are you going to walk out of here being astonished, being wondering, having questions? And not being able to get past that a man has been preaching to you tonight? Or will you believe that God was in Christ reconciling the world? That he loved you enough to die for you? That he loved you enough to become the blood that would bring life back to a leper? That he loved you enough to become the scarlet thread? That he loved you enough to become the lamb, to become the acceptable sacrifice, to become the great high priest, to become the fullness of God, the image of God? That he loved you enough to be beaten, to be bruised, to get stripes on his back, to get the crown of thorns on his head? Don't you know that he's the King of Kings? He could have called a legion of angels. He could have snapped his fingers and come down off the cross. He could have done that. He could have made them bow. But because there was a plan, there was a promise, there was a day that he decided, I'm going to endure the cross with joy. Because I want him to know that I'm more than a carpenter's son. I wonder what God will do in your life if you'd respond right now and believe. These altars are open. Bless me, God, but don't change my heart. Bless me, God, but don't make me give up my sin. Fix my furniture, but don't fix my home. God, give me a long life, but don't deliver me from sin. Don't change my ways. Oh, no. He's more than a carpenter's son tonight. He's the God that created all, and he loves you, friend. He loves you, friend. He loves you, friend. He loves you, friend. And he wants to be more than a carpenter's son. He wants to be your God, and he wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your healer. He wants to be your great physician. He wants to be your deliverance. He wants to be your liberty. He wants to be the one that pays your debts, a man of sin. He wants to be your blood sacrifice, but you've got to believe. You've got to believe it's for me. It's not just for the church. It's not just for the one beside me. It's for me. Come on, let's pray.